It's time to tune up your taste buds and take a trip to culinary heaven, because we're live from Jasper's Kitchen, presented by Hen House. Sit back, relax, and enjoy something new from the wonderful world of delicious cooking with our favorite chef, Jasper Marabli, and his co-host, food journalist, Kimberly Stern. And now, here's the godfather of Italian cooking, Chef J-Man and Toots.
Hey, this is Jasper.
And Kimberly.
And welcome to our show this beautiful Saturday, summer Saturday morning.
It is an absolutely gorgeous day. A little breeze, it's a little warm, but you know what? We'll take it.
That's right. And we are here at the Corinth Hen House. Mm-hmm. You need to visit us. Come on, I'm telling you right now. Kimberly's got a boatload of certificates and pies to give away. We're going to do something special today, Kimberly. We're going to give away a $25 gift certificate to the person who can answer our secret word of the day.
Which
and
is?
And they can join. Well, I haven't decided
yet. Oh, okay,
yet.
Okay.
Calm down, lady. Who can join us today? Anybody who wants to join us? And they have to say, you know, the secret word, because they will get $25 annual fee for fresh picks. They're going to waive that with their certificate.
For the CSA.
Yeah, well, this is the,
that's
the,
amazing.
You have two types of CSA. We're right. Going to talk about this.
I know we are.
Okay, let's just make the secret word. What's it going to be? Right there. You just said it.
CSA.
There you go, lady. You got it.
So if you come in, and we're actually back behind where we normally are.
Yeah, we're
at
in the
Corinth.
Cafe.
We're right near the TV. Actually, we're being broadcast across the globe, Jasper.
Oh, my. 69 million listeners, and now we're on TV across the globe.
And we have a very rambunctious live audience here today.
Yes, they're getting a little loud in here right now, so we may have to just take things over. Kimberly, come on out here to the Hen House Market right now. Where are you ready for this?
I
hope you're sitting down, my friends.
I am.
Copper River Salmon mm-hmm. is here, mm-hmm. and the price is fantastic. I was kind of a little overwhelmed with the how less expensive it is right now. Also, Kansas City Strip Steaks, $8 each right now, Miss Kimberly.
I would say come in, get them, and grill them tonight.
But more than that, Mr. Esch and Mr. Ball have for Miss Kimberly
what
the
is my
BOGO.
Look at this. Pork loin chops, pork loin baby back ribs, or pork tenderloin. All of them, actually. Buy one package, get a package of equal or lesser value free.
I love when we're on the radio and you say, look at this. I love it, lady. And don't forget right now, Hen House, 2 for $10. That's right. That's what I'm talking about. Tippins pies. Delicious fruit tarts, mini apple or mini cherry pies. They're 6-inch and they're 2 for $10. And of course, the Tippins lemon chest pie.
Okay, one of my favorites.
You like that?
I do. I love custard and I love lemon. I love this pie. Mark Boyer, never ever remove this pie from your roundup, please.
Hey, Mark Boyer. I'm following him on Facebook. He'll be listening to this later on.
Where
but
is
he's
he?
He's in Sweden, I think.
Oh, is he?
I don't know if it's Sweden, USA or Sweden, Sweden.
Probably Sweden, Sweden, Jasper.
Sweden, Sweden. Name me a city in Sweden.
Stockholm.
Well, you're too quick. Name me a city in Sicily.
Torino. No.
No, it's up north. Palermo. That's okay.
Palermo, that's right.
See, I got to get you over to Italy.
That's
but we
right.
are going to be traveling to Cuba. And we have a special guest today.
We are so lucky to have Mr. Jonad Galen. Yes, Galen.
Galen.
I'm sorry, Galen. I don't have my glasses on. With us today, he's going to be chatting with us about CSA. And actually, Jonad, you're from Cuba.
Born and raised, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. You came over here when you were 13. But Jasper, he's going to be talking with us later in the show about the CSA, which is so exciting this year because, as Jasper intimated, there are two different types of CSAs.
So there's two programs, and it's through feedback that we gather from the members in the past years. And I'm really excited about the fresh picks because it gives you the flexibility to get as much as you want and get what you like.
Wow.
So really customize it for your family or your own particular needs.
You can make it very personable and enjoy great savings and discounts on it.
Wow.
And then there's the regular CSA. And, of course, people don't realize what CSA is. It's community-supported agriculture. Now, we were talking earlier because, you know, we have a beautiful community here in Kansas City in the area, which, you know, is part of, like, Lenexa and Lee Summit and
North Kansas City, et cetera.
Thanks for that geography
lesson. Olathe. And then sometimes people tease other, I'm talking about other stores, big retailers. So I don't like the tease that was out there last year, and I know you guys bring something different to the table.
Yeah, we do. I think in order to be fair to our community, we need to have honesty and integrity, and that's one of the things that we deliver. Last year in touring different retailers so we can know the land and we can know our customers, I encounter local Olathe corn in one of the retailers, but it's local Olathe, Colorado corn, which is roughly about 828 miles away.
This is unbelievable.
Wow.
So that's one of the things that we're doing. Mm-hmm. We're going to deliver honesty and good local, true local products to our customers.
And, you know, we'll get into this more, but, of course, Hen House has an award-winning Buy Fresh, Buy Local program that people absolutely love.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Everybody. And there's so many reasons you want to join. We're going to come back in a little while, and we'll be talking with Jonah more about this. But, Kimberly, you got some heavy hitters today on the show. Well, a heavy hitter today.
Well, we've got two heavy hitters. We've got Jonette here.
Of course.
And then we've got Sam Sifton, who is the acclaimed award-winning food editor of the New York Times. And he was gracious enough to spend about a half an hour on the phone with us. And I think Mark had to edit it down a little bit, but we've got a really nice interview with him. And, of course, millions of people read him and his team every day.
No,
I'm one
kid.
Of those.
No,
you're one of those.
No, you know I am, definitely. Yeah. Kimberly, I have a little, I know we got to get going here, but I have a little trivia for you today.
Uh-oh.
You ready for it?
I am.
1 kilogram is equal to how many pounds?
Oh, come on, Jasper.
Come on, why can't you answer me?
Because I don't know the, no, what is it?
A kilo is 2.2 pounds.
Okay.
But there's more to that, and I'm going to give more of that trivia in a little while. I'm just kind of leading you into something right now.
Okay.
A kilo is 2.2 pounds.
Yeah. All right.
You don't know where I'm going with this.
I don't know where you're going, Jasper. But it has to be somewhere exciting because that's the only place you go.
69 million listeners across the country. And you're not helping me any right now, Kimberly.
I'm
what
not.
A week we had this week. I'll tell you, we had a great time in the studio.
Had a great time in the studio. And, you know, Slow Food Kansas City, which, of course, Jasper started this convivium here. And we actually got to talk to the executive director, this week. And we're going to be broadcasting
McCarthy.
In a couple of weeks. But Slow Food Kansas City had an incredible event down by the creek.
Yes, the Watts Mill Waterfall.
Behind Jasper's, about 60 people showed up Monday night for a grilling, demos by Craig Jones, of course, the grill mayor. You gave a demo.
He did. He hit it out of the ballpark with his tenderloins and the ribeyes, and we made a little pasta, and we did root beer floats and s'mores.
It was incredible.
Brought the neighborhood together.
Exactly. And you know, Jasper, I love the fact that it was the site of a grist mill.
That's right.
Of course, you know the whole history of that. So it was very cool to have Slow Food Kansas City kind of in that area because of what
we
stand for.
We're going to be back in the park. We're going to do another live show probably with the radio station down there. So we'll talk more about that. We have a lot to talk about on the show today.
We do.
A really, really good lineup. A really, really, what's that? Really, really
good show. Big show.
Big show today. This is Jasper Morales.
And Kimberly Stern.
We're live at the Hen House Market over in Cork. Come by and say the secret word, which is?
CSA.
And you're going to win. I'm telling you, win big with pies and gift certificates right here on KCMO.
Talk Radio 103.7 FM, AM 710.
Hi there, this is Uncle Walt with Jasper and Kimberly. Walt, please get away from the mic. I'm just trying to teach Jasper a little bit of Italian. You know what that means, Jasper? Cara mia.
Cara mia, of course, cara mia. Come on. Of course, a lot of Italian words have different meanings when you're talking to different people.
That's true.
Your girlfriend or your wife. You say your little daughter or something like that when you say cara mia.
Well, what does it mean?
I'm not telling you.
Oh, okay.
It means darling, I think. I was sending that out to Kimberly. She's sweet.
Walt, get away from the mic.
thank you.
I really thought we were going into something else. That's why I said I'm not telling, because I thought you had like a big lead in there, my friend.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to keep Uncle Walt under control, Jasper. Apologize.
We are here at the Hen House Market right now. Kimberly, did you taste this Gala apple?
This is absolutely amazing. The crisp crunch.
So they're from
the
New Zealand.
Yeah.
And they're only a few weeks old compared to most Gala apples, mm-hmm. because this is the season right now for Gala apples. If you go to most stores right now, they're almost 10 months old. They've been in storage.
Wow.
Yeah, they were picked last August.
And these?
These are fresh. How about that? That's the difference with Hen House Market.
Is this a good cooking apple?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good eating, good cooking.
Oh, it's crisp.
Good snacking. Yeah.
It really is good. Come on out here to the Hen House Market right now, because I have a knife in my hand. And I'm cutting with the wrong side of knife. How about that?
A little dangerous, Jasper.
But you know what? You know what time of year it is, Kimberly?
It's summertime. It's produce time. It's fresh time. It's CSA time.
Oh, and it's and Copper River salmon.
That's
time.
Right.
Have you had any of the Copper River salmon yet this year?
Yes.
Oh, it's so delicious.
$19.99 a pound here.
Well, you know what? Come by and say the secret word. You can get some free copper salmon right now.
Yeah, and I believe we have a young man in the audience who knows the secret word.
What's the secret word, buddy? He said it. He's going to get a free Tippett's pie. How about that?
That's Mr. Blake. Thank you, Blake.
Thank you, buddy. Thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it. Well, Kimberly, we have such a great show today. And, of course, we're here at the Hen House Market over in Corinth. So you can join us and get free certificates for Tippett's pies. All you got to do is say the secret word. So much going on in the store. But you brought on someone who is really, really special. And this is, when I say huge, you hit a home run. Maybe more than that, you hit a grand slam with this one.
Well, you know, I emailed Sam Sifton. One morning.
You just give him the morning
email.
I'm going to email Sam.
He emailed me back right away. And you know, I get up at 4 in the morning, so it was 5 Eastern time. But he emailed me right away. He had a lot of traveling going on, but we finally were able to get him on the phone.
Wow.
And I think listeners will really enjoy this interview.
Well, you know what? I cannot wait to discuss a few questions with him because he was a former food critic. So
that's right.
Take it away back in the studio there, Uncle Walt.
Kimberly, I'm going to let you open this up because this is your interview, my friend, and I am honored to be a part of it.
Well, you know, Jasper, I get excited, of course, with all of our guests, whether they're from Kansas City, the region, overseas, I don't care. But this one has a particular place in my heart because I read him every single morning. He puts a smile on my face. His name is Sam Sifton, of course, very well known. He runs the food department at the New York Times and is the founding editor of New York Times Cooking, the newspaper's digital cookbook, which has more than 11 million visitors
wow.
a month. And Sam was the national news editor of the Times and the arts editor. He also worked as the restaurant critic. His newsletter, What to Cook, which is what I love to read, has more than a million subscribers. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning to you.
Sam, what is it like to be the editor of the New York Times Cooking? I mean, this is we're not just talking about some little, you know, article we're going to put here and there about food. This is big. This is around the world.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, and I have to say it's a real privilege to do it. I work with incredibly talented journalists and cooks, photographers, videographers, and even lots of smart coding engineers in the background who help make the site work so silkily, and it's really great to be able to do that. As you said earlier, I've done a lot of different jobs at the Times, and the thing about working within the food world and reporting on food is that it really is the one subject that allows us entry anywhere, to any story, to any region, and to anyone, whether they really want to talk to a newspaper or not. Everyone's got an opinion about food. Most in New York, sometimes people only eat once a day because they're fashion forward, but most people eat three times a day or more. And so there's always something there that we can begin to hang a story on or learn something about. And so we travel incessantly to do that, and we're constantly rooting out new recipes from professional chefs and home cooks alike. And the ability to deliver the reporting on those trips and those fanciful flights of imagination that we all go through is just great, and it makes me happy every day.
And, you know, one of the things I love about reading What to Cook is how you just effortlessly thread throughout the piece, different pieces of music to listen to, books to read, current events? It's like you said, it's just not about cooking.
Well, this is super important to me. My belief is everything that we do in our lives that's important, we end up doing in the presence of food and drink. And that relates to our families, of course, but also to our businesses and our romantic liaisons. And every interaction that human beings have, when it starts to get real and important, food and drink are going to be there. And therefore, I think that when reporting on it, particularly reporting on it in the NYT Cooking newsletter, I think it's important to recognize that that doesn't happen in a vacuum. Mm. It happens in a world that is rich with music and literature and paintings and politics and violence and chaos. And all that stuff has to be recognized as we set down to make it better or to accompany it with food. And so I'm really happy that you say that. When I first started writing the newsletter, I got a couple, nasty notes here and there from people saying, you should stick to food. Why are you writing about books? And I stayed with it because I was making an argument. And I think with, now more than a million subscribers, that argument's taking hold.
I would think so. So, you talk about the newsletter. That's just one little bit of what you do. You have a team. You produce a whole lot of food content. What keeps you inspired and motivated?
Oh, that's a good question. It varies. Restaurants do a lot for me personally in keeping me motivated because in New York, with its, I think 16,000 restaurants right now, there's always someone trying something new. And, of course, whenever I travel to another town or country or what have you, I'm eating new flavors and becoming fascinated with them, and that's leading to stories and it's leading to recipes and the like. But it's not all restaurants. It's also home cooks. It's also regional cooking in general. And the beauty of having a relatively interactive site like nytcooking.com and having a relatively interactive way of dealing with readers and journalists through the newsletter is I hear from a lot of people, and I hear what they're cooking, and I hear what excites them, and I hear what they're interested in. And every once in a while, like every single day, I become kind of obsessed with one part of that story or another, and it just leads to more stories and more recipes.
Well, as a chef and restaurateur, dining trends are always on my mind. And I look for you for inspiration for this, and I see what's going on in New York. And I know for you, you must be on the pulse. And, you get it before anybody else because, of course, the restaurants want to get you their information. So I could just imagine the hundreds and hundreds of emails and press releases you can get every day.
Yeah, they come in. They really do come in. And the vast majority of them are pretty silly. And, it's just publicists or restaurateurs trying to start trends where none exist. And I'm always a little dubious of trend reporting. The cynics always say about newspapers, they say they look for 3 points and create a line three times. You see, salmon cooked with jelly beans three times, and salmon with jelly beans is a trend. So I'm pretty dark about it. But that leads to some blind spots. One of our reporters here, Kim Severson, came to me more than a year ago, and she said, I think it's all about bowls. I think everything's going into bowls, grain bowls, rice bowls, breakfast bowls. And I was dubious, and I was dead wrong. That was a huge trend that is still going on and ricocheting around the world from Sydney, Australia, all the way to L.A., even here in New York. So trends can be real for sure. So with that said, grain of salt, but boy, I'm seeing a lot of sweet potatoes coming around. It seems like sweet potatoes in all forms are kind of having a moment in 2017. The other thing that I'm definitely seeing is a kind of erosion in the number of restaurants in big cities like New York and Los Angeles, Miami, and even London and Paris, of what we might call fancy restaurants. I'm thinking it's got to be really tough on tablecloth manufacturers and tablecloth cleaning services, because it's hard to see a tablecloth in a lot of so-called fancy restaurants these days. There's a kind of casual fine dining that's coming to the fore, where you're spending, you know, $250 on a 17-course tasting menu that's served by some guy in, you know, tattoos and a baseball cap, and you're probably wearing the same. And it seems it's a little odd because it offers the illusion of a democratization of fine dining. But if it's costing $250 a head, it's not a democracy.
There's no doubt. Well, Sam, we want to continue this conversation. We're going to take a little break here and come right back. This is Jasper Morabili.
And Kimberly Stern.
We're live from Jasper's Kitchen right here on KCMO.
Talk Radio 103.7 FM, AM 710.
Start spreading the news.
Well, Jasper, we're back with someone that I have a lot of admiration for, Sam Sifton, who runs the food department at the New York Times and does various and sundry other things there. And one of the things he did was a pretty ambitious project, I'm sure he's going to say. He built a digital cookbook.
Wow.
Sam, tell us about that and the response.
Oh, it's been so much fun, you guys. It's really exciting. What NYTcooking.com is a cookbook. I call it a digital cookbook. It's, of course, much more than that because you can save recipes, move them around, and organize them in all kinds of different ways, and we're constantly serving up inspiration for the next great recipe, either from now, the new recipes that we deliver weekly, or from the past. And the way it arose was there was a time when the failing New York Times was maybe really failing in the 1970s, where we were really scared. We were just a metropolitan newspaper, and how were we going to survive in with the coming onslaught of television and all of these things? And the editors decided to make the paper a national one. And even as they were thinking that and doing that, one of my predecessors, the great Craig Claiborne, collected all of the recipes that he had published in the New York Times through the 1960s and 70s and combined them into the New York Times cookbook, which became a national bestseller at a time when the Times was not a national newspaper but a metropolitan one. And now that we're an international newspaper, I thought, wow, couldn't we capture that lightning in a bottle again? And so it's kind of complicated to explain how we did this, but we took what were essentially dead articles about food and made them into a living, breathing database of recipes, some 17,000 strong now, and put them together on this website that lives next to the New York Times. It's nytcooking.com. And within it, you can see the trends of cooking over the course of the last 30 or 40 years. You can see brand new recipes, old recipes, great classics, all beautifully photographed and with a real emphasis on the reporting that went into finding the recipes and perfecting them for our users. And, you know, as you said at the top, it seems to be kind of working. We've got 11 million monthly unique visitors to the site now, and I think we're giving them good value.
So did you build that cookbook based on what people are cooking these days, too?
Well, it's endlessly adaptable, you know, because it's the totality of the recipes. But then we can put them together into collections that work as kind of mini cookbooks. Here are, you know, 30 great recipes for midweek cooking, or here are 10 great project recipes for the weekend, or here's a collection of fantastic burger recipes. Or any way that we can cut and divide these things so that they become useful to the reader. I'm sure you guys know, I can tell you definitively from our data, that you know what people really want? They want chicken recipes, and they want salmon recipes. So you got to make sure those are there. But then we have thousands and thousands of users and readers who want to up their game. Mm-hmm. So we need to provide them with great souffle instruction as well. And we need to, you know, give them the tools that they need to tackle their first barbecue in a Weber grill or their, you know, or their first Thanksgiving or their first Easter, for that matter.
Sam, I have to ask you, do you miss being a restaurant critic at all?
I'll tell you what, I like being the former restaurant critic. It's like being Bill Clinton. You know, the restaurant critic for the Times operates anonymously. Mm-hmm. We have fake credit cards. We're using burner phones and Google phone calls, and we're reserving under different names. It's basically like being Jason Bourne with no danger whatsoever.
Were you ever discovered?
Oh, I was discovered a few times. You know, there weren't a lot of pictures of me circulating then, but it was pretty well known that, you know, I was a kind of preppy looking white guy, always wore a rep tie or whatever. And if I fell into that trap of dressing like a normal, like I do normally, I would occasionally get recognized. But throw on a black dress shirt and a little chain, nobody knew who I was.
Oh, wow. Great.
So not like Ruth Reichel. In her book, I think she was describing some of the get-up she had. She wasn't recognized.
She was a prolific user of wigs. Now I tried the wig game, but I think a guy in a wig is just—it's easy to tell away. You're sitting in the restaurant, so the server is literally above your head, staring down into that bad weave. And it just didn't work for me in a way. I think that misdirection, if your listeners can't see me, but I'm a bald white guy. I look like a thumb. So misdirection, just changing some aspect of your clothing rather than changing your hair, worked better for me.
Well, Sam, you know, this 14 minutes went by just like that. I knew it would. We would love to have you back on maybe next fall to talk about your Thanksgiving book, which has quickly become, I think, a classic.
Oh, thank you so much. It was written to become one. I don't know if you know the book, Hoyle's Book of Cards or Book of Rules or something. It was in my grandmother's house when I was a kid, and it just was always there as the place that you could find out how to play whist or rummy or gin or whatever. And I thought, wow, what if we did that for Thanksgiving? So that's what that thing's about, and I'd love to come back and talk about it.
Well, I will email you some morning at 4 o'clock, and you've already been up doing your things in New York, and we'll get you back on the show.
Love to do so.
Sam, it's been great talking with you. And my friends, make sure you can sign up yourself for the NYT, that's the New York Times Cooking, and you can read the journalism in the Times. But Sam, how do they sign up real quick?
Just head on over to nytcooking.com and we'll get you started.
Well, we have been honored to talk with you. Kimberly, thanks for setting us up. Sam, you're our new friend on Live from Jasper's Kitchen.
Well, it's good to be friends, and I look forward to coming back.
Thanks so much, my friend.
Take care, Sam. Thank you.
It's up to you, New York. New York. New York.
Hey, this is Jasper.
And Kimberly.
We are live at the Hen House Market over on
in Corinth.
Well, I say in Corinth, though.
Yeah, that's fine, Jasper.
In Corinth.
In Corinth.
But Corinth is not like a street here, right?
No, it's like we'll talk later.
I've only lived there 54 years, so, you know, I just want to make sure I'm not going to give the right area to my friend.
I know.
Well, come on out right now and join us, because we have right now something special we're giving away along with our usual Tippins pies. We have a $25 certificate, and that will help you with the Fresh Pick this year. That's right. The Fresh Pick is new this season. We'll talk more about that with the CSAs with our next guest. But you're going to really love what's going on here at the Hen House Market. Of course, it's all buy fresh and buy local now since 1923.
It's a lot of delicious years, Jasper.
Mm, delicious. Speaking of delicious, I'm having some savory addictions.
You know, Craig Jones and Gay Jones just dropped off their newest baby in their line of gourmet nuts. Salt and pepper blend.
You didn't open your package, but you're sharing mine, lady.
I certainly am.
Lots of cashews in there, too.
Oh, that's nice.
Aren't they good?
That's very nice. Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little gin and tonic with these?
There you go.
Kimberly, we brought on a special guest. We were teasing everybody earlier with him. And he brings so much to the produce table, so much to the table here at Hen House Market. Jonah Galen, of course, has been with Hen House now since a week before they opened the new store on 117th and Row.
Wow.
When I first met him. And things are changing here a little bit, you know, about bringing honesty to the program, which was already the top program in the country.
Absolutely.
Something you don't see is a CSA. And he's letting people know that this is a little bit different than what most people get around the Midwest when they talk about CSAs. Jonah, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
You're welcome. So let's talk about those apples first.
Oh,
during
yeah.
the break, we and Jonad was telling us about the Gala apples, sort of what some other vendors out there do to their Galas, but these at Hen House are fresh and crisp and juicy,
oh,
and
they
they're amazing.
So what we're doing is we're sourcing following seasons throughout the planet. So when our winter and our summer are in the northern hemisphere, it's the opposite for the south. So you get different crops. So what we do is we're following the crops to get you the freshest product.
Love it.
So the galas that you see in the hen house today, it's a New Zealand gala, which is a lot fresher, months fresher, about 10 months fresher than domestic galas.
And you can tell. I mean, it's they're just absolutely delicious.
But that's not all. That, I mean, we were walking around looking at the peaches just now. The peaches are unbelievable. The flavor, Jonah. And the smell, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like the middle of the summertime almost, the flavor. I mean, what I'm tasting and smelling over there.
So we're running a tree ripen program to make sure that they have the full sugar and the right acid balance in the fruit in order to get the full flavor. My favorite ones is the white nectarines and the white peaches, just because of the low acid, it lets that aroma and sweetness kind of come
naturally.
Really deliver a taste. Yeah,
absolutely.
There's a difference.
So can I say what's in the CSA bag this week? Because
away.
I'm so excited
you get
to take
yours
mine
right
home.
Now. You're going
to
pick up yours now. Mine comes Wednesday.
We've got local pork sausage from Lawrence, Kansas, Flory Family Farms. And you meet these farmers, don't you, Jonad?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. I mean, you have eye-to-eye contact with them. You know how they run their business. And so it's sort of the family operation of Hen House reaching out to another family operation.
One of the biggest differences in our program and anybody else out there, it's through the work with Good Nature Family Farms.
Right, and Diana Endicott.
And Diana Endicott. We participated in seminars in order to make sure that our farms are GAP certified. And we're providing and working with Good Nature Family Farms and USDA to make sure that they meet all the sanitation and
all the
best practices, all the standards.
That's the difference.
And in fact, speaking of Good Nature Family Farms, local milk is in your bag this week, a gallon. Easter egg radish from Juniper Hill Farms in Lawrence, Kansas. And radishes are hot
this year.
Yeah. And you've got a salad mix from Juniper.
And that's actually a very special salad mix. That's an organic salad. And it's just on the north side of town in Lawrence. I was very happy that I could visit. Very privileged to visit the farm.
Yeah.
They have a really, really, really small but very efficient and very clean operation. So we're happy to deliver the product.
Well, Kimberly, I was lucky enough to get some of the product a little earlier. I didn't tell you. So I got to go back in the test kitchen. And in the test kitchen, I came up with a recipe for the Hen House, for the exit for the GNFF, the Good Nature Family Farm CSA Weekly Newsletter. And I came up with a local sausage, egg, and bread strata.
There it is.
And
so I can make it this weekend.
I didn't want to add to it. I'm talking about maybe even doing them in individual mugs and having individual ones instead of in the big in a pan itself.
In a casserole.
That's another good idea.
You could put it in muffin tins too.
That's what my chef told me yesterday after we looked at everything. He said, "Look, you have these greens, these beautiful greens, this salad mix from Juniper Hill. Sprinkle that on top. Just mix it with a little bit of lemon juice and olive oil and put that on top before you serve it." So,
you know, let's, Jonad, for a minute talk about the benefits of buying local and why buying the CSA not only helps your family's health and wellness, but it helps the local economy too.
Not only that, it's sustainability within the area. I mean, we're giving back to the community, and the members are giving back to the community.
Right.
So as a store, as a retailer, we're only serving as the medium to deliver this to you, communicate between the farm. And you know, in years past, it was a lot easier to go to a farmer's market and get true local product, but that has dissipated. And, you know, because of the sourcing that's available now, you have to make sure that it's the right items they're being ethically sourced, mm-hmm. and it's true and honest to the local program. So it's very exciting to deliver this with high integrity and great flavors.
Great flavors.
Well, a little bird told me this week we may be having some local blueberries soon.
Local blackberries.
Blackberries.
Very soon. Actually, I think next week we should be getting some. And heirloom tomatoes are actually coming.
I saw them.
Are those early? Those, is that early?
They're a little bit early from last year, a little mm-hmm. bit late from the year before.
Okay. Okay.
And also, this is a first. I don't think I've ever seen this anywhere in Kansas City. I've used it myself, though. Local rice.
Okay.
How about that?
Yes. So we do have local rice. It makes a difference because the age and the grain can alter the flavor. So, I mean, it's really good. So the soil and the water is different, and the grain absorbs all that. So it's a different taste on the rice. Absolutely.
Wow, that's something else. You don't see that in any store in Kansas City.
No, you don't. Now let's talk at the top of the program. You mentioned real briefly the two different CSA programs that are available for the first time this year, and I think it's pretty cool. Do you want to just very quickly tell listeners again?
So we have the traditional bag, which is the house mix, which you have really big savings on, up to 30%, which sometimes is actually more. Mm-hmm. We just like to be modest about it. We made a commitment this year as a team that we're going to deliver a great variety, which is feedback that we received from the years past.
And, you know, that's something, I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's really important to point out because Hen House takes feedback. They take it seriously.
Yes, we do.
Very seriously.
We listen not only to the members, but we also listen to our team in the stores, yeah. which is the front line. Yeah. And then the other program kind of evolved from that. It was the flexibility of you get to pick what you want that's available in the quantity that you want. So if you have a party that you're going to be doing in your house, now you can pick more mm-hmm. while enjoying the savings. If this week it's only going to be, you're going to be home for 3 days and you're traveling, you're taking a family vacation, you only get to pick enough for 3 days.
Right.
So it's very flexible and it delivers wild savings. I mean, 20% on regular price local produce. You can just come in and shop twice a week under this program, any 2 days of the week, and you can enjoy this 20%. And then we have 10% savings throughout the store on local honey, and then we have the rice, and we have meat and bread. Participated on the program, so it's a very well program that covers the whole store.
And you got to be on top of your game yourself because Mother Nature sometimes doesn't cooperate.
No, it won't. I mean, just a couple different degrees and humidity, and we actually mm-hmm. have a really really nice weather right now. But
well, we're live with Jasper and Kimberly at Hen House, and we have a little technical glitch that has happened. We'll see if we can get them back on here in just a quick moment.
...128 miles is about 12...
Ah, there they
12,
are.
Between 12 and 13 hours. That it's a lot of diesel that gets burned on that time. So it's a huge impact on the carbon footprint. Yes, it is.
Well, you visiting the farmers yourself, the food artisans, and finding out what's out there, touring Farm to Market Bread Company, going down to find this rice... walking through the fields. I know looking forward to the peaches this summer and the local corn.
The squash.
The squash.
You love squash, Jay. You
know, hey, it's gagusa time soon.
It's true.
It's my summertime. You know that, my friend. Well, I cannot wait. I'm really looking forward to my CSA. I look forward to developing recipes for the CSA, Jalen. And I hope you you keep up with me and you keep telling me, give me some inspiration because you already have. You give me a lot already.
We're going to keep... working with the farmers on getting the right varieties of product, different products, new products. That way the farms are efficient and they get a good return on investment because that's part of our commitment to the farms on the CSA. It's working with them on getting the right items that they can have a return on their investment so we have continuity and we have them for the years to come.
And that's something through my relationship with David Ball that I know that he's very, very committed to. And that's something he's been doing. His father did for many, many years, and his grandfather. And that's just the way they operate. And that's what Ball's mission is all about, you know, supporting mm-hmm. local. And they've been doing that for 94 years. That's really something else.
Yeah, we. I was very happy when I joined the organization, and one of the key things that I learned was there were pioneers in local.
Absolutely.
Before it was even a hip, or
you hit
a mix with a retailer.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy to be here. Very happy to have an impact with the community.
And one last thing before we get going, you have a photo that you showed me that really hit me. Boy, I went home and couldn't wait to tell Lisa about it. It's the food harvesters, the truck in front of the store early morning, and what you guys give back to the community.
So we have on the CSA program, for every bag that's picked up by a member, we're donating one fresh pound of produce.
Is that something?
To harvesters.
To harvesters, which
that's
is
amazing.
The number one need nationally in the food banks is fresh produce.
And we're
it's
not talking
produce.
Leftovers, Kimberly.
No,
you know, it's
no,
not
no.
something that's getting,
right.
Oh, we got to move this out real quick. So yeah. Let's just give the spotty tomatoes this away. Well, Jonah, we appreciate you coming on. Kimberly,
thanks,
I'm
Jonah.
Telling you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great season for the CSA.
Oh,
I
it
can't
is.
Wait. Sign up now. Come on out to the Henhouse Markets and make sure you sign up for your CSA. Also, you can get a coupon right now, $25 off, because I'm telling you, you're really going to like that. It's the fresh pick new season this year. CSA. Henhouse Market. It doesn't get any better, my friends. This is Jasper Morabile.
And Kimberly Stern.
We're live from Jasper's Kitchen. Join us every week. We love talking local right here on KCMO.
Talk Radio 103.7 FM, AM 710.